broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana,
USA.
You're listening to Forgotten Favorites. On the Worldwide Legend.
Visit our new website at legendoldies.com. Request a song. See what's currently playing. View the weekly schedule in your local time zone and learn more about your favorite DJs. Listen to talk shows when you want with your computer, Victor Stream, or iPhone, including All Things Radio, ATR Extra, Coffee Club, and Sports Lounge Live. Connect to our Zoom voice chat rooms to talk with us live using your computer, iPhone, or telephone. All this and much more at legendoldies.com. Welcome to Sports Lounge Live, a weekly talk show covering baseball, basketball, football, NASCAR, plus the latest sports news, both pro and college. Hear past talk shows on your phone by calling the conversation station or as a podcast on your iPhone, Victor Stream, or computer. Visit legendoldies.com for links to automatically connect via your computer or iPhone. Call the sports aficionados at area code 646-876-9923 and enter the PIN 287-723-4600, followed by the pound key twice. And now, your hosts, Chris Devon, Perry Lester, Sean Platts, and Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good evening from Indianapolis, Indiana. Hope you're doing well. We've got a busy sports show for you. We'll get started, but just one thing. Will Treasure Island Oldies run after the show, or will it not run? They promised us a fix. We will see, so stay tuned after we finish here, and we'll find out if it will run or not run. Let's turn it over to Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Okay, hello, and we've got edition number 36 of Sports Lounge Live, April 7th, 2019. And on our agenda tonight, we're going to start out with both basketballs, both forms. We're going to do college basketball first, of course. We're down to our final two as opposed to the final four. We're going to talk about that, talk about women's college basketball, talk about some of the coaching carousel and all that stuff, the NIT a little bit, and then we'll do that. Then we'll do the NBA because they're coming right down to the short strokes. The NBA regular season ends on Wednesday, and we've got a few things settled in the NBA, but others are not. We can run that by. Then we can go to baseball. There were some things we didn't get to cover last week because we had to hustle out to get Marty Brenneman on, which, hey, it's kind of an honor to hustle out to get Marty Brenneman on the air. But we did that, and so we've got a few things to just run by people. And then we will do the NHL. The playoffs are set. A couple of firings in the NHL today, too. We'll run those down. And then we'll see what else is going on. But right now, Sean can tell us where everybody is and where they're going to be in the future here.
All right. Well, that's right. We will have random stuff, I guess we call it at the end. I call it random stuff else in my wrestling
life. Oh, yeah. We have football. That's and, right. We got football.
Well,
too.
Yeah.
We got a little,
that'll be in our random grab bag thing. Yeah, the grab bag stuff. But, yes, you can, of course, reach us downloading your Zoom app. Our great staff announcer, Michael Loft, says, you know, hey, 646-876-9923 on your phone or the Zoom app. And then when you're in here, dial 287-723-4600, hit the pound key twice, star 6 mutes you, star 9 raises your hand, alt Y raises your hand on the computer, 773-572-7781 or ringsidereporter.com. Those are the places to hear Ringside Robert and the Ringside Reporter podcast. They do a bunch of them apparently. They got a lot of boxing news, so they do a lot. Plus, of course, you can leave us comments, questions, criticisms at 773-572-7715 when you hear the show start. Hit the pound key. Well, you don't have to listen to the whole hour again. And then, you know, leave us a comment. Do not mark the message private if you send it. Also, of course, my line shooting the you-know-what with Sean talking WrestleMania stuff, the WrestleMania history plus the fallout from this WrestleMania. That's what's going on at 773-572-7867. So now let's get on to the week in sports that was, is, and will be.
Okay, well, I guess we'll do it chronologically about college basketball and the games on the court, and then we can talk about the coaching moves and all that. But first of all, the NIT was won by Texas on Thursday night, and Sean, as a Texas fan, what is your thought about the NIT championship and beat Shaka Smart, who I guess will be staying in Texas now.
It's a good move. It's good for them, like you said. It's like winning a bowl game. It's good. It's a good reward. Now, the people that are going and trying to say, hey, it's a national championship, we're going to hang a national championship banner, no, I'm not going to go that far. It is the NIT championship, but basically you're the 69th team in the country. It's good for them. If they decide to stay with Shaka Smart one more year, it's kind of a good momentum builder, but it's not the national championship. Don't treat it the same as an NCAA championship. Nothing against the NIT. 7 out of the last 10 NIT champions have not gone to the NCAA tournament. So a lot of people, but
yeah, like I remember George Washington won it a couple of years ago. They've not been heard from since. Yeah, you know, that kind of team. Yeah,
that's something you got to watch. They're building an arena. We'll see if it gives him momentum, maybe to take another job, or whether they say, "Oh, we're going to try him one more year because he's losing some seniors." So I mean, it's good for them, but it's not the NIT of 30 years ago. It's definitely, you know, a lot. I mean, it's like going to the Alamo Bowl or the Texas Bowl or the Liberty Bowl or one of those. I mean, yeah, it's good if you're happy about it, but it's not, you know, like I said, and it is what it is.
Okay, then we got women's college basketball, and UConn, of course, made their 12th Final Four in a row, but they didn't get any further than that. Notre Dame beat them on Friday night, and Baylor beat Oregon, and right now, I don't know what we have, but it's coming down to the end, and Baylor was in good shape to beat Notre Dame to win their second straight women's national championship.
They're still up by double digits. We will give. I will get you a score as soon as it becomes available.
Right.
And this is actually the second year in a row. The second year in a row that UConn did not make the championship. So of course it's Mulkey and Muffet taking on each other. Kim Mulkey and Muffet McGraw.
Now, we don't know what these coaches think of one another, but we know that Gino Auriemma and Muffet McGraw, we know they apparently did not like one another, as I heard on Friday.
Well, there was a story on CBS News, too, about Muffet McGraw saying that really the time has come for women to be hiring women, and that they said that in the old days, as time has gone by, there are fewer women coaching women's basketball. That's dropped from about 75% down to about 57% of the Division I teams are coached by women. So she's saying we need to train these coaches. We need to bring them in. We need to get them. You know, women should be hiring women, and, you know, that helping them move up. And Auriemma says, well, you had a lot of men assistants, and they sure helped you out, so don't forget about them. That's what Auriemma said. So.
And I don't necessarily disagree with her premise, but I guess I would rather they hire the person that is the best qualified to do the job, not based upon whether they're male or female at all. You should hire who's the best qualified to do the job.
Yeah, well, if that had always been done before, you know, there's been an old boy network, and she wants to establish an old girl network, you know, and that's the thing. You know, I'm not saying she's right. I'm just saying that wasn't done before, Perry. You know, that was the problem.
Not just women, it certainly was done
racially, too.
Yeah, and these women, like I said, they're both very outspoken coaches, and Kim Mulkey, of course, we can go on about the stuff that Kim Mulkey has said. You know, just she's had some very, let's just say,
she had some controversial statements when the sex assault stuff at Baylor was going on. She did not really come out and necessarily condemn everything.
Okay.
No, even made remarks about playing Texas A&M. One quote was, "Hey, I divorced my husband. I don't sleep with him anymore. So why should I play A&M? They divorced us." You know, that was another gem that she said. And even Karen asked.
So we'll get it before the end of the show. We'll get a score. Maybe Perry can get us the score before the end of the show. We'll get that done.
My phone will alert me when we get a final. So
that's right. And then for the other thing, of course, the men played on Saturday and really one great game, one very interesting game. The other not so much. Was kind of a ho-hum affair. Yes. But going to the finals for the first time, the Virginia Cavaliers and the Texas Tech Raiders. And a little controversy. I was able to find on one of the Alabama stations, I got the Auburn feed, so I was listening to them. And, of course, at the end, Virginia was coming down, and his last name is Guy. I can't think of his first name. He was fouled.
Kyle Guy was fouled
with like 0.6 to go. He had thrown up a shot that missed, but he was fouled. But the Auburn folks thought that was a phantom call. And I guess John Thompson on Westwood One said they thought it was a double dribble.
There was a double dribble, not on that, but on the play, you know, where they had to inbound with 2 seconds to go. There was a double dribble right before that that they didn't call.
Okay. So the Auburn folks are feeling about like the Saints fan. There's probably, you know, there's probably some of these people that, hey, it's the Southeast, you know, you figure there's probably some folks in Alabama root for the Saints. There's probably some people just think they can't win nothing here. You know, now I know the Alabama fans are happy about it and all, but and, you know, I'm sure a lot of the folks of the Southeast are not happy.
You can argue, though, okay, yes, it came down to that call. That call was a very not good call. But, however, Virginia, to get back in that situation, Virginia was up on them, you know, several times. And,
10
you know,
points pretty, or so. Yeah,
by 10 points.
Yeah, 10-point leads. They let them back in. I mean, they were up. And, you know, these are not high-scoring teams. These are very defensive oriented team, especially Virginia. I mean,
yeah, Auburn scored 14 in a row and got to a 4-point lead. So both teams could look at it as having blown leads because Auburn had a 4-point lead with about a minute to go or so. And Virginia had been up by 10 with about 5 minutes to go.
And you know what? This is not Auburn's first time of having this happen. Remember, let's rewind to the first day of the tournament. It was the third game of the day, I believe. And Auburn fouled, I believe it was New Mexico State. And the guy missed two of the three free throws in order for them to get a win. So they, whether it was a phantom foul or not, I guess you maybe put an official into a situation to make a call like that in any case.
And it's also, this is kind of interesting. Also, some fans thought that they won because I guess they have a tradition there at Auburn. They go and they decorate the tree with toilet paper or whatever. And so some fans were already decorating the tree. And it's just when they saw the, you know, the 3-point shots and the foul, and they're all, they had a news clip of some fans there going, just with the look on their face going,
Well, what the Alabama fans would be saying is this goes back to that football game that we should have won, that Auburn won a couple of years ago, you know, that's what they'd say.
Yeah.
So, cause it's like the Red Sox and Yankees down there. I mean, that's, you know, the Alabama folks are happy. I'm sure that the Paul Feinbaum show will be very interesting tomorrow, you know, if people want to listen to that.
And in Michigan State, Texas Tech, you know, it was back and forth at times, but it wasn't, you know,
out of the Big 12, and you guys are both Big 12 people, this is kind of unexpected. This team was like, what, third, fourth team in the league? Nobody really thought that was going to be
that good,
right?
They were tied for first.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they won the league,
but I don't believe anybody thought nationally that they were going to be anywhere near a championship game because, I mean, everybody thought it was going to be Duke, Gonzaga, you know, and that group of teams.
Yep, yeah.
And Chris Beard, it's only his second year. He replaced, remember, Tubby Smith left in the middle of the night, went to Memphis. Chris Beard played for the University of Texas. He was an assistant under Bob and Pat Knight. Then he went on to Arkansas Little Rock, where he, you know, he got them to a 30-win season.
As we keep you up to date, by the way, less than a minute to go, Baylor 82, Notre Dame 80.
Ooh, Notre Dame's made a comeback.
Down the wire. Right. So here we go. He was, you know, I think this is something for them. It's the first time, well, outside of college, well, in basketball, it's the first national championship ever. They've been there in college baseball, and of course, they've been there in women's basketball in the 90s when they had Cheryl Swoops. You know, Texas Tech had been there, but this first time, like I said, first time for either team, and this is also only the second time that you had a father and a son coach make the Final Four with the Bennetts now and, of course, the Thompsons. So, and I believe also, well, I don't know. I can't remember if Tony Bennett's dad made the finals or not, but I know the Thompsons.
Dick did make the final at Wisconsin.
Okay, and I think, and Thompson III, I don't know if he ever made the finals.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. So this was definitely the first time the father-son both made the finals.
Right. Okay, so we have a few coaching notes.
Well, we have this game, you know, that's 82-80. Before we get to our coaching stuff, Chris, I certainly think we would all agree that tomorrow night's game will certainly not be 82-80. Probably 50s, maybe 60s tops.
The joke
down here is the Texas Tech football teams, especially with Mike Leach and Cliff Kingsbury, have scored more than probably what this basketball team will score in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So we had a firing this week in women's basketball. Holly Warlick fired by Tennessee. I guess she did not come in and replace Pat Summitt very well, so she's out.
Well, they think she did okay, but Tennessee, of course, thinks that they should be in the Final Four every year. I mean, in all honesty, at a lot of universities, Holly Warlick would be doing fantastic because she made the tournament every year she was there. But they feel that they should be in the Final Four every year, kind of like what UConn.
UConn will feel that way when REM is when REM is gone, they're going to feel that way, and also like UCLA, you know, in men's basketball.
Tennessee and Texas, of course, for women's basketball in the day, they were the blue bloods. Jody Conrad, Pat Summitt, those two were, and at both schools, the women eclipsed the men's basketball programs for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm. And then John Calipari got a lifetime contract for, with Kentucky. And apparently UCLA had offered him a bunch of money to go there. And he said, he probably told Kentucky about that. And they said, hey, we'll give you a lifetime contract. So if and when any of his recruiting violations come to light, they'll have fun figuring that one out. But anyway, that's what they did there.
It sounds like UCLA now is either leaning Jamie Dixon at TCU, but I don't know that they want to pay his buyout, which is apparently about $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't get him, then they're thinking Mick Cronin, the coach at Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, they've been good year in, year out, too. Okay, Buzz Williams finally
Chris,
did get hired.
By the way, we can give you breaking news.
Breaking news.
Baylor 82, Notre Dame 81, final.
Whoa, okay.
All right
Baylor wins again. All right. So Buzz Williams did get the the Baptists beat the Catholics. Well, it's Sunday, and they go to church more Sunday night than the Catholics do. That's why they won.
Yeah, okay, the Baptists go on Sunday. Catholics are in the morning of the church.
Yeah, that's right. So Buzz Williams did finally get that job at Texas A&M. That was a formality. We knew that was coming. That's official. And we talked about Jamie Dixon and Jerry Stackhouse to Vanderbilt in a coaching move there. And I didn't realize he had, coached the Memphis Grizzlies. So that's why they.
He was an assistant there.
So he's kind of familiar with the area there. And then Eric Musselman to Arkansas. Just happened today.
And
Zion Williams is the player of the year in college basketball too.
And then of course Kelvin Sampson signed the extension with U of H. Tillman Fertitta brought out the checkbook, and basically there's a question. He wanted his son to be an assistant, be the head coach when he leaves. So we don't know if that happened, but chances are it did. So,
So I guess we can move on to the NBA, and maybe we'll do the firing first, just before we get to the standings. This is on the same sheet. Two things. Kenny Atkinson got an extension for the Nets, and they just made the playoffs about an hour ago for sure. So that deserved for him. And then they fired in Washington. They fired Ernie Grunfeld after 16 years. And this is amazing. The amazing part to me is he made the playoffs 8 of the 16, and they never made the Eastern Final. I mean, how did he keep his job? That's about as long as Danny Ainge. I mean, Danny Ainge has done a few things. How did this guy keep a job that long?
Something about the Wizards ownership, I guess.
I guess. Abe Pollin hired him, and Ted Leonsis is the other owner, and he just stayed, but no more. So the other and at the end, and they had the Wizards, as you heard, Sean, because you put it out, they had the Wizards voice, Dave Johnson, on talking about it. And, at the end it was kind of unfair because John Wall got hurt, and, the team didn't play well because of the injury. But still, I mean, 16 years, never even made the conference final. That's a long time. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to read you the standings as they were today, and then we have a few results that change things, and it's coming down to the end, so we'll talk about that in the East and see what we got. Okay, so we have Milwaukee at 59-21. Everybody's got like two games to go. Milwaukee has clinched the top spot in the East and the best record in the league. Toronto, 56-24, number two. Philadelphia, 50-30, and Philadelphia could still, they were talking on the Celtics game, the Celtics could still catch them if they win both of their games and Philadelphia loses both of theirs. They could then get third. But more likely, they're going to finish fourth. They will have home court against Indiana because they beat Indiana Friday night, and then Indiana lost to Detroit to Brooklyn today. So the Celtics at 48-32. They're at least the fourth, could get the third, probably the fourth. Indiana is locked into five at 47-33. Orlando And this is where things get crazy. This is these are the teams that have a chance to make the playoffs. This is the way it was going into today. Orlando at 40-40, Brooklyn at 40-40, but they won, so they're now in. Detroit at 39-40. Then we had Miami at 38-41, and Charlotte at 37-42. All these teams have one shot or another to get in, and things got tighter today. We'll talk about that in a minute. The teams that are gone, though, here, Washington 32-48, gone as much as Ernie Grunfeld is. Atlanta 29-51, Chicago 22-58, Cleveland 19-61, and the Knicks 15-64. So if the season were to end today, and it will not, it will end on Wednesday, but we have the Eastern pairings as they would exist at that point. Milwaukee, the one seed, would play Detroit. The four seed Celtics will host Indiana unless they move up to three, which is possible, but not likely. They'll host Indiana. Toronto at number two would right now host Brooklyn, and Philadelphia at the Toronto. Yes. And Philadelphia for three would be hosting Orlando. And then we'll run down what happened in the East later. But let's do the West right now. Golden State at 55-24. Denver at 53-26. So they still haven't clinched it yet, because you see there's three games left. So Denver could win those three, and the Golden State could lose all their games. But that's the way that is. Number three is Houston, right behind Denver, actually, at 52-28. Then Portland, 50-29. Utah, 49-30. The Clippers are still in six at 47-33. But Oklahoma City is right behind them at 46-33. San Antonio, 46-34. So there's a lot of jockeying in those positions. It's not about making the playoffs in the West. Everybody that I just mentioned is in the playoffs. They will make it, whether they're 8th, 7th, 6th. You know, it could change. So keep tuned on, these matchups that I give you here are very questionable in the West. The teams out of it, Sacramento, 39-41. Minnesota, 36-43. The Lakers, 36-44. Memphis, 32-47. New Orleans, 32-48. Dallas, 31-48. And the poor old Phoenix Suns, 19-61. So the Western matchups, again, we don't know how these will go. But right now, Golden State at 1 would meet San Antonio at 8. Portland at 4 would host Utah at 5. Denver would be the 2, and they would host Oklahoma City at 7. Houston, number 3, would face the Clippers at 6. So then the finals we have today, we have Toronto over Miami, 117-109 in overtime. So Toronto decided to show up, even though Miami really needed the game. It was in Toronto. We had San Antonio beating Cleveland, 112-90. We had Oklahoma City over Minnesota, 132-126. Charlotte beat Detroit. Now it's a big one for both teams, 104-91 in Detroit, too. And Brooklyn beat Indiana to clinch their playoff spot, 108-96. So right now in the East, looking at the number of wins these teams have, Orlando's going to play the Celtics here. Or they're underway now. They're at 40-40. Brooklyn, though, has the 41 wins. They won. They're now 41-40. Detroit lost, so they're down to 39-41. We have Miami that lost. They're 38-42. And Charlotte kept in there by winning, so they're 38-42. So, that's all up for grab. And then let me grab my schedule and give you the 9 remaining games. We have a lot of games tonight. I don't think too many of them are, well, maybe some of them are meaningful, but a lot of the action was this afternoon that we talked about in the East. And in the West, as I say, it's pretty crazy there, too. And I don't know all of the ramifications of who's
playing. And by the way, just to let while you're gabbing that, there are no games tomorrow, of course, because they do not play up against
the championship. So the games that are either underway or are going to start. Dallas is at Memphis, and that started at 6 p.m. We have Atlanta at Milwaukee at 7 p.m. We have Orlando at the Celtics, 7:30 p.m. We have Washington and the Knicks, 7:30 p.m. Phoenix and Houston, 8 p.m., and that's on NBA TV. We've got the Clippers and Golden State at 8:30 p.m., and that says it's on NBA TV, too, and that's impossible. So unless they've got NBA 1 and NBA 2, but I don't think they do, so that didn't get caught in the proofreading process somewhere along the way. Denver at Portland at 9 p.m., New Orleans at Sacramento at 9 p.m., Utah at the Lakers at 9:30 p.m., and that's it. Then we were off on Monday, then the last. Now, not all the teams are playing on, it's different than usual. Used to be all 15, there were 15 games on Wednesday night. There are 10 on Wednesday night. There's a bunch on Tuesday as well. So it's a, I know the Celtics finish up on Tuesday. So it's not going to be quite as frenetic, but I know one of the games on Wednesday is Miami and the Nets. Now, the Nets are in, but they still are jockeying for position, and Miami needs to win. So there are going to be games coming up, and just keep an eye on your schedule. And, you know, especially on Tuesday and Wednesday night, that's going to be something.
And the playoffs start Saturday. There's four games on Saturday, four on Sunday. Starts at 3 Eastern on Saturday, and then, of course, at 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday is how they're going to
work. Yeah, so. Okay. So I guess we'll move over to baseball.
And well, before we do that, Chris, we have a guarantee.
Okay.
Apparently, Robin Lopez of the Chicago Bulls has already come out and said that he is guaranteeing that the Bulls will be in the playoffs next year. I have my doubts. Robin Lopez is guaranteeing that they will be. And we do not have any hands, but if you have anything, make sure to raise your hand and we'll get right to you.
Yep. Give us a call, 646-876-9923, and then hit 287-723-4600. Hit pound key twice. We are here for you.
Okay, and we have our first set of baseball standings. We've had about 10 or 11 games under everybody's belt, so that's 6% of the season
already.
And
now we do have a hand. Now we do have a hand. Jerry, go ahead.
Okay, you're Ernie Grenfield and all that, and why they keep them on. It's like, I guess some ownerships are like the Steelers. I'll bet you if they go a whole season next year, well, you know, they didn't make the Super Bowl this year, and, you know, as far as I know, Mike Tomlin is still going to be the coach. So I guess, you know,
Yes, he is.
No, he is.
You could, but I could not. I wouldn't quite compare the Wizards' history and all that with the Steelers. No, I think Wizards, it's a little bit different situation.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl. So, you know, I mean, there is something. Like, it's like this year, you know, if the Red Sox have this lousy record that they may have, you know, there'll be some criticism, but Alex Cora is not going to get fired. I mean, if you've done something like that, you know, you're going to be good for a couple of years. That'll certainly stand you in good stead for a little while.
Joe Madden, on the other hand, is in the last year of his deal, and if they don't do well, he probably won't return.
Right, although Theo said it was his fault yesterday, so we'll see.
So far.
It's only April. Okay, so here we go with the standings, our first set of standings. And, of course, you know, it's early, but it is what it is. American League East, Tampa Bay, and this is all going into today's action. Of course, Tampa Bay, we'll give you the finals in a minute. Tampa Bay, 6-3. Baltimore, 4-4. Well, they got there was a battle for second place, and the Yankees won it today. Baltimore, 4-4. The Yankees, 4-4. Toronto, 3-7. The Red Sox were 2-8. American League Central, Minnesota, 5-2. Detroit, 6-3. Cleveland, 5-3. Chicago, 3-4. Kansas City, 2-5. In the West, Seattle at 8-2. They're off to a good start. Texas, 5-4. Oakland, 6-6. Houston, 4-5. And the Angels, 3-6. In the National League in the East, the Mets, 6-2. Philadelphia, 5-2. Atlanta, 4-4. Washington, 3-4. Miami, 3-6. The Central, Milwaukee, 7-2. Pittsburgh, 4-3. St. Louis, 3-5. Chicago, 2-6. That's what we're talking about with the, and Cincinnati, 1-7. And in the West, we have the Dodgers at 7-2, San Diego 6-3, Arizona 5-4, Colorado 3-6, San Francisco 3-6. So the finals we have today, we have 14 finals. The only game we do not have, of course, is the Dodgers game. It's late because they waited for the end of the women's basketball on ESPN. So they're going to start or have started. I didn't look at my clock at 8:37 Eastern in Colorado. Dodgers in Colorado. But the finals today, the Yankees beat Baltimore 15-3. They hit 7 home runs today, and Gary Sanchez hit 3 of them. So, and I think a couple guys hit 2. What I don't know, but anyway, they clobbered the Orioles.
Sanchino hit 3.
Sanchino, I heard about that. Philadelphia beat Minnesota in interleague tilt 2-1. Detroit over Kansas City 3-1. Cleveland beat Toronto 3-1. Washington hung on and beat the Mets 12-9. And that was a big comeback. I guess they had like an 8-1 lead or something and managed to gut it out and win the game. The Braves beat Miami 4-3. Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati 7-5. And Bill, why don't you talk about that game? I guess there was a bench clearing brawl, huh?
I guess there was. Guy Derek Dietrich, who substituted for Joey Votto today, hit a long home run, which actually went into the river. He's only the 32nd player in history that's ever done that. Well, he was admiring his home run prowess going around the bases, I guess, stopped to watch it a little bit. Well, the pitcher on the mound for the Pirates took exception to that.
And that pitcher being Chris Archer.
Right, who took exception. And so anyway, when Derry came up in the third inning, Chris threw behind him, towards him, at him, and out came the manager, then the players, and then there was a brawl, and then a few ejections, but not the pitcher or the batter. They didn't get ejected. But anyway, and then Dietrich hit another home run later on in the game. So
But the Pirates beat the Reds anyway. So, beat the Pirates anyway.
What are you going to do?
Okay.
Now, all right. Steve Sachs, by the way, called the brawl. He said it was a hug fest.
Not like they used to be.
Well, they're division rivals. You know, they get along. Okay, speaking of teams that maybe don't, Milwaukee beat the Cubs today 4-2. St. Louis over San Diego 4-1. Houston beat the A's 9-8 on a walk-off walk. That was exciting.
And there were two balls that hit the roof, I guess, there. They honked off the roof there because it was closed because all the storms in the area and everything. So two homers bounced off the roof.
Okay. Seattle beat the White Sox 12-5, who are on their way to an embarrassment tomorrow because they're going to play the Tampa Bay Rays, who's having a good season, but nobody knows who they are. And they're going to draw 5,000 people or something on a Monday afternoon. And meanwhile, across town, the Cubs will be having their home opener, and they'll have about 40,000 there, and it's not going to be pretty for the White Sox tomorrow.
No, the weather is going to be beautiful too. It's going to be about 67 degrees, they said.
And, the Rays will feel at home because they have about 5,000 every game. So
that's true. Okay, the Red Sox finally won a game today. They beat Arizona 1-0. Mitch Moreland home run decided that one. Tampa Bay over San Francisco 3-0. They took 2 out of 3 from the Giants, so they're doing all right. The Angels beat Texas 7-2, and then we have that Dodger game. But I just want to run down a crazy stat that I have here before we move on from to our baseball notes. Now, just to tell you about how crazy baseball teams are, and every year is a different year, especially for the Red Sox. In 2011, they won 90 and lost 72. They were 1-7 at the beginning of the season. I had forgotten this, but I heard this a couple days ago. They were 1-7. They had a great, from about this time till the end of August. They were about 7 games up in the division. Then they only won about 5 out of their last 30. They fell out of the playoffs. That's the chicken and beer year and all that stuff. Terry Francona was let go. And what did they do? They brought in Bobby Valentine. How'd that work out for them? In 2012, they were 69-93 and finished last. In 2013, they brought in John Farrell, and they won the whole thing, winning 97, losing 65, winning the division, and winning the World Series. In 14, back to 71-91. And in 15, when they started to bring up some of the younger players at the end of the season, they got a little better, 78-84. But then, of course, 16, 17, and 18, they won the division and finally ended with the World Series. So baseball, it's really a funny game. You know, you think you got this all settled. What did we say? Seattle's rebuilding. And I'm not saying Seattle's going to win anything, but they've got the best league record in baseball. Meanwhile, the Red Sox and the Cubs, who we were talking about winning divisions and this and that, you know, they're at the bottom. So who the heck knows? Very early, though. So let me.
And the Cubs, Chris, notes. While you're doing that, they have made some moves already. Yesterday, they put Mike Montgomery on the 10-day injured list. I almost did it. I almost said disabled.
Yeah, Eric Nadell. I heard him say disabled list today. He's getting a black mark in his book. He's in trouble. Anyway,
but it's injured list, and to make room for that, they called up Alan Webster from Iowa. And then they sent Carl Edwards Jr., who had an ERA of 32, to Iowa, and they called up Kyle Ryan from Iowa.
Okay. All right. So here we go. These are some notes from last week, too, and just to get them on the record, because we did get to do that, because, again, we had Marty Brenneman's interview. Jake DeGrom signed a $137 million contract. I think it was, 5 years, I think, for that, $137.5 million.
Yes.
We had Larry Bear, the president of the San Francisco Giants, was suspended for the domestic violence against his wife, Pam, that was caught on tape. And I think, and grabbing a cell phone from her. He's suspended till July 1st. Let's see. We have some of the prospects. This was an interesting little issue here. We've had situations where prospects were not brought up at the beginning of the year so that they wouldn't get the service time and all this. But maybe it was a good faith move by the ownership for this or that. But three of them did start their season. Fernando Tatis Jr. for San Diego. Pete Alonso for the Mets, the first baseman, and Eloy Jimenez for the White Sox. And they were all brought up, and that was something that was not expected. Then we had, this week, we had Ronald Acuna signing, Jr. signing an 8-year, $100 million contract. We had, we had the trade with Toronto. It's traded Kevin Pillar to the Giants. For Alan Hansen, who's an infield outfielder, Derek Law, who's a pitcher, and then the minor league pitcher, Juan DiPaolo. And then, unfortunately, there were Bobby Cox, the manager of the Toronto and then the Braves, suffered a stroke this past Tuesday. Hopefully he's doing well. He's 77 years old, so our thoughts are with him at this time, because that's a great manager. Really did. When you can win all those divisions, I don't care if he didn't win a World Series. Winning those short series are hard. It's a hard thing to do. But he, to win all those divisions, you got to give him a lot of credit.
And while we're at the signings, Chris, I don't think we hit this one last week either. Kyle Hendricks, a 4-year, $55 million contract.
Okay. So I think that's all the baseball notes I had. Did you guys have anything else on baseball?
No, not really.
But if anybody has anything, make sure to raise your hand. There are no hands yet. But if there are, and you want to talk baseball
or whatever, raise your hand. Just call. Of course, like I said, we're still here, 646-876-9923, and then 287-723-4600. Hit the pound key twice, and then *9, raise your hand, or Alt-Y does it on the computer if you're on the Zoom app. So.
Okay, now we have our final NHL standings, and we have our real playoff pairings, and I've got the schedule for the first games, too, so for Wednesday and Thursday. And then after that, basically the series, the way they work in hockey, it's every other day. So if you play Wednesday, it'd be Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, that kind of thing. So anyway, here we go.
And I do see your hand, Jamal. As soon as Chris gets through this, we'll get to you.
Okay, the Atlantic Division, Tampa Bay, 128 points. The Bruins with 107. Toronto, 100. Montreal, out of the playoffs, 96. They're saying that the GM's head is going to roll and not Claude Julien. So that's what they tell us. Bergeron, the GM. Florida, 86. Buffalo, 76. Detroit, 74. And Ottawa, 64. In the Metropolitan Division, the winner was Washington with 104. Islanders, 103. Pittsburgh, 100. Carolina, 99. Columbus, 98. So all those five teams made the playoffs. Philadelphia, 82. The Rangers, 78. And New Jersey, 72. So the East, the matchups will be Tampa Bay will host Columbus. We will have the Bruins hosting Toronto. Washington will host Carolina, and the Islanders will host Pittsburgh. Moving to the West in the Central Division, we have Nashville won that. Now, all this, these weeks, I've been Winnipeg first, all those games, all those weeks that we were doing this show. Well, no, Nashville came through and won it. Of course, they're in the finals a couple of years ago, so they didn't have some experience in doing these things. Nashville with 100 points. Winnipeg, 99. St. Louis, 99. They tied, but Winnipeg gets the home ice. Dallas, 93. Colorado, 90. All five of those teams make the playoffs. Chicago, 84. They got a winning record, and they got out of last place, too. Minnesota, 83. So they kept working. And, if the team and fans are happy about getting out of last, well, they did it. Pacific, Calgary with 107. San Jose, number two, at 101. Vegas Golden Knights at 93, Arizona 86, Vancouver 81, Anaheim 80, Edmonton 79, and the Kings at 71, LA Kings. So in the Western pairings, we have Calgary hosting Colorado, San Jose hosting the Vegas Golden Knights. We have Nashville hosting Dallas and Winnipeg hosting St. Louis. And then the games coming up, the playoffs start on Wednesday, the 10th, the night that the NBA is finishing the regular season. So this is, again, another fun time. You know, we love October with the postseason baseball mixed in with pro and college football, but this is the other great time of the year. These couple of weeks here where you have playoffs going in both the NBA and the NHL, and baseball is rolling along. So this is fun, too. Wednesday at 7, we have Columbus at Tampa Bay, 7:30 on Wednesday. Pittsburgh is at the Islanders, 8 o'clock on Wednesday, St. Louis at Winnipeg. 9:30, it's Dallas and Nashville. And 10:30, it's Vegas Golden Knights at San Jose. So you got 5 games on Wednesday, 3 on Thursday. 7 o'clock on Thursday, Toronto. It will be the Bruins will host Toronto here. Carolina at Washington at 7:30. And the final game of the night, Colorado at Calgary, and that'll be at 10. And 2 firings in the NHL. Let me find them for you because they came up this afternoon. Our friend Robert, who runs our hockey group, told us about those. And the firings were Bob Bootner, I think his name is. I may not.
That is,
I didn't
that's
know
correct.
Him.
That is correct.
Yeah, Bob Bootner in Florida was given the boot. He's oot. And Phil Housley is oot in Buffalo as well. So Buffalo started off like a house of fire, and then they, well, as often Buffalo's do, they became extinct and they didn't make the playoffs. So those guys are
out. Probably what will happen, getting out of the playoffs real quick, is if I remember they did this last year, and yes, folks, I'm coming on a hockey thing, but it's not actual teams, it's about a schedule. One of those Wednesday games will probably move over to Saturday and all that to get it to 4 games on Saturday and all that, because it's probably just availability, you know, to have
They're doing the 5. And I don't think they've got as much trouble with buildings as they usually do. You know, you look at some of the teams in hockey, there's not. I mean, the Bruins and Toronto share their buildings. But just thinking about it, I haven't looked at it and tried to figure it out. But I don't think a whole lot of buildings are in question here. You know, the Sixers are in, but the Flyers are out, that kind of thing. So I think Chicago, both of them are out. The rain, MSG is going to be dark. So, yeah, I think generally that's not going to be a problem. But they want to have I knew the Bruins would start Thursday because they'd want to have Saturday night, hockey night in Canada with Toronto playing, you know, and that'll be at the Garden on Saturday. So,
I would imagine that you would have on Wednesday, you'll probably have games on
it'll be
Sports, USA, and probably CNBC.
Either CNBC or the NHL, they'll have one on the NHL Network. They may do that.
Well, that NHL Network.
They do have some agreements where they have to run certain games on the NHL Network, you know, to make them happy. So I think that's probably why you have 5 games on Wednesday, because you may have a doubleheader on USA, a doubleheader on NBC Sports Network, and an NHL Network game because, see, Monday and Tuesday, you will not have games on USA because they have WWE, Raw, and SmackDown. Those will be CNBC for future. But other nights, those games would be on CNBC. Wednesday through Friday, they pop up on USA.
And I've heard also the hockey can end up on the Golf Channel if there's an overflow.
It did one time. Yes, it did one year. It did end up there one.
So. And,
Jamal!
And by the way, I'm almost done. Okay. I just want to say that apparently Joe Quenneville, and actually Jamal could maybe know something about this. We can comment on that in a minute. But Joe Quenneville is being rumored to be talking to Florida about their job, and the Blackhawks have given him permission to do so. Jamal, what's up?
Hello. First of all, about the Quenneville situation, I did hear on the Score this afternoon that, in fact, Florida is going to hire Joe Quenneville. That's why I heard it as of early this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, about the upcoming national championship game of Monday night, you know what? I look at it as a breath of fresh air. No more of these arrogant, pompous blue bloods polluting the national championship. We got Virginia and Texas Tech. And it's going to be a very interesting game, I think. I don't care if it's high scoring or low scoring. Although it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Texas Tech win after the way it is. Essentially dismantled Michigan State last night. And I had a discussion with a particular family member of mine who was bemoaning the fact that Texas Tech and Virginia were in the championship. They're like, what if they're not from the Midwest? And I'm like, wait a minute. They're from big conferences. The Virginia is in the same conference as North Carolina, and Texas Tech is in the same conference as Kansas. So it's not like we're talking about two mid-major conferences. We're talking about the Big 12 and the ACC. The difference is not Duke, Carolina, or Kansas. It's Texas.
And they both, and Texas Tech won their Texas Tech won their conference. Virginia came in second in the regular season in their conference. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, if the mid-majors couldn't get in there and shake things up, this is about the next, in my opinion, the best thing. And some people believe it will be the lowest-rated national championship in history. I'm not sure about it.
Let me tell you. Last night in 10 years, that was the highest-rated semifinals. And since they've done this CBS-TBS, you know, with the at March Madness on Demand, it was the highest rated and it was the highest streamed. Because remember, now it's not just on March Madness on Demand. They've tied it in with Bleacher Report Live. So you watch it on, you know, on BR Live and on the March Madness on Demand, plus, you know, on CBS, which is the highest rated during all of this and the most streamed, so it could be a very, I think people are intrigued by it. I think it'll be a pretty high rated, and I definitely think if it starts getting interesting, remember there was the first year on TBS, you know, there was a concern because TBS, number one, they're cable, number two, they don't do college basketball. It was a Villanova game, the first Villanova championship. As you know, it started, it broke streaming records that year because people were going online to watch it. So
right.
North
Carolina.
TV,
I think they were playing North Carolina that night.
They were playing North Carolina, and it got very interesting. And even if people aren't watching on TV, they may be out going, oh, wait, just get it. And they could have record streaming because that is the one thing with it right now, with streaming. You don't have to be at home to watch it anymore. You can have it wherever.
Let's be clear, Sean, tomorrow night, the game is on what channel?
It is on CBS. This year is CBS's year to have both of them, so it is CBS. But that record, like I said, even that one, it's not becoming as much of an issue because people are starting to get used to TBS having basketball now or having the final. So the last couple of years it hasn't, but it is on CBS, also on the March Madness On Demand app, BR Live.
It's March Madness Live now.
Yeah, March Madness Live because it's tied into BR Live. And, of course, Westwood One on radio.
Right.
If you have a Westwood One affiliate, our station here that would do Westwood One games for basketball is not because they got Round Rock Express.
Well, they'll have it on EEI tomorrow because the Red Sox aren't playing, so they'll actually pay attention tomorrow night.
And as for baseball, right, which I am mixed feelings about the start of the White Sox. They're a little disappointing, but I'm a little pleasantly surprised with some things I know. Moncada is hitting the ball well, and Tim Anderson is in the ball well, but the Cubs really, really need to get their act together.
They do.
But I'm not wondering, and I've often thought during the offseason, that part of the reason that the Cubs did not go out and seek more to help out the bulk of the team is maybe they just want to find an excuse to let Joe Maddon go, and the best way to do that is to sit on their hands. And
well, maybe, that could be, Jamal, but if you believe Tom Ricketts, Tom Ricketts says they just don't have any more money they can spend.
I mean, I question that because them people have more money than God. But I think there is, and I know I'm not a conspiracy guy, as y'all know, but there's something more to this. I'm thinking that Theo wants to bring in more of his Red Sox mafia types to run the Cubs ultimately.
Well,
and that's what that's about.
And the way it's going now, they want to bring in these managers that they really don't have to pay. That's what these higher paid manager teams want to do. They want an excuse to bring in somebody they don't have to pay. Joe Maddon, they have to pay.
They want pump.
Right, but the thing is, like, you could get a guy like Brad Mills cheap, you know, if that's what they wanted to do. If they get rid of Maddon, and, you know, thinking of Red Sox mafia and longtime Tito bench coach, that he'd be the kind of guy to go there, you know, but and because Theo would trust him, he knows him, and, you know, all that. And that's important. You know, you want to have somebody that you can work with. But I don't know if it gets crazy, and Joe Maddon, I'll tell you what, Joe Maddon, I have faith in him. I think what he would do about the middle of the year, if he thinks he's not getting support, he'd just walk away from it because he knows he'd get hired anyway. It doesn't matter. He'd go to the ESPN booth for half a year and then get hired next year because he's, you know.
And we have about, eight and a half minutes left. So if anybody has anything, this would be a good time to get in and raise your hand.
Well, it's not every week that a league folds. So Sean might want to talk about our folding league this week.
Yes, I will talk a little bit about that. But, of course, the Alliance of American Football, well, they went down, basically. I mean, they had bad business. Bad business, people weren't going. When you're doing a league like this, you need to take lessons from minor league baseball, minor league hockey, even stuff that G League teams do, other minor and independent league sports. You need to get the fans there. Do promotions. Do what you need to do. And this league apparently did not. They were convinced that the NFL was going to make them a developmental league in 3 years. The NFL never said that. Part of the reason the NFL Players Association was like, oh, I don't know if we want to send players there to get developed, which would have made sense. But the league apparently was not paying their bills. They had a bailout from the Carolina Hurricanes owner a few weeks ago. Several players even had to pay their own way home. They returned from team meetings and found their luggage in the lobby at the hotels because of hotels bills not being paid. Radio stations were not being paid to cover the games. So the last 2 weeks of the regular season and the playoffs were scrapped. It folded on Wednesday, and MARTA, the Metro Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, apparently they didn't realize that because they put up a tweet and said, hey, go to Georgia State Stadium, see Atlanta Legends take on Salt Lake City. But this league, I think they rushed it, and they never got clarification from the NFL. And if you remember, I said before these started, if either of these leagues is going to work as kind of a minor league, developmental league, whatever you want to call it, a league to get players looked at, I said the Vince McMahon League, which starts next year, would be the one that would probably work, or you'd see the two kind of come together because Vince McMahon, those of you that have followed him, I've followed him since 1984, Vince McMahon hates to fail. He failed with the XFL the last time because he tried to make it a WWE show. This time he wants to make it legitimate football. If a league is going to make it, and I believe his will actually make it a full season because he has money, and like this league, I think they had Bill Polian, a good football guy. They had Charlie Eversole, who knew TV. They had some good concepts as far as streaming and everything, but they just, I think they rushed. That's a big part of it. They rushed. They thought, hey, we can do this. And you really didn't hear a lot of promotion about it in the cities that they were in. You may not get a lot of people watch it nationally all the time, but like I said, you need to promote in your cities to get people interested. Like, hey, come watch some of your former players that played in this area, or watch this guy who may make the big league someday. Go, watch them, or have crazy promotions that minor league sports are very well known for. But I'm not surprised that they folded. I'm just surprised that they did not make it through the whole season. If the NFL wanted to, NFL could have just said, hey, finish the season, we'll cut you a check. I mean, look how many years the NBA has been bailing out the WNBA. They could have said, hey, finish it, because so far at least 50 players have been signed by NFL teams now. So
is Vince McMahon's plan, do you know much about it? I mean, is he talking to the NFL about becoming a developmental league?
He has not officially talked to them about it, but one of the few things that he's leaked out is that players, if an NFL team wants them, that is the one way they will be let out of their contract. They are only doing one-year contracts, where the Alliance was doing three-year deals with these players. They had already had a plan saying, we're going to go into our third year with this. Vince McMahon's doing it year to year because he says, hey, one of these players may get looked at by the NFL. And the other thing, he has even talked about letting players come out if they wanted to after their freshman or sophomore year of college, if they wanted to. But there's been like mixed on that. But yeah, he's only doing 1 year because he said, hey, that's his goal, to get exposure for those players who maybe have been overlooked. Let's say, do you want to play on the practice squad, or do you want to go get playing time? Because if you look at some players, they need playing time where they're on the practice squad with a lot of these teams.
And the other question I have is, what kind of something? If anybody's got something, by the way, you have about a minute, maybe a little bit less, to get in. So before
what kind of TV deal does Vince McMahon have, or does he have one?
They have not announced that yet. There's a talk with ESPN Plus possibly getting involved. With the WWE, they have, of course, USA, so that's NBC, and Fox. Now they have one of their shows moving to Fox. So the other talk is that you would see NBC Sports Network, Fox Sports One involved, but ESPN has been very friendly. They've talked about, like I said, on the ESPN Plus, so he has not announced an official deal as of yet. Supposedly that's coming this summer.
Now, the Alliance went for the smaller markets. What is his plan as far as cities?
He's going to NFL cities like Houston, Dallas, L.A. Like in Dallas, he's playing at the Rangers' current ballpark. Houston, he's playing at U of H. He's not in L.A. He's in New York, the Washington, Baltimore area, Seattle. He's actually going to NFL cities, which may not be the best deal, but in a smaller stadium, it's like, hey, come see alternative football. You may see this player
NFL team. A place it's really into Redskins. People can't get Redskins tickets. They may want to go see a game,
See a future Redskin play here. So anyway, and of course, we got the Masters coming up this week. Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka. Those guys are favored. Tiger's been making a comeback. Jordan Spieth, who's won it, he's been having some down time. But hey, we'll have a little bit of Masters.
We'll have that. That should be, unless there's a playoff, we should have the winner of that next week. And John, it's probably about time.
And Mike, by the way, Mike Tirico is hosting the Westwood One coverage this year. And we have about a minute and a half, Sean. So,
all right, John.
We might, hopefully we'll have Treasure Island Oldies coming up next. But remember, you can hear us. You can download the podcast, legendoldies.com. You can also go to worldwide, all one word, space legend in your podcatcher, select Sports Lounge Live. Also on your Alexa or your other smart device, say play Worldwide Legend Podcast and keep saying next so you hear Sports Lounge Live, unless you want to listen to Coffee Club and All Things Radio Live, which I do recommend listening to, or 773-572-7715 when you're listening to it on your phone. If you hang up, you call back in, it leaves off from right where you left off. And that's also where you leave us a message. Hit the pound key and do not mark it private. And if you leave us a message, we will address you next week. So, hey, let's go see what's coming up next on the Worldwide Legend.